The world has changed. What do you have now?
Nothing.
You do?
Do I?
What's in your wallet? I heard that you got something. Did you get
my permit?
Your permit.
Stay off the roads.
Stay off the roads. Toby has his permit. Oh, you're so much like your father. It's fantastic. Hunter came up there at the end and said when I went up front, he thought I was going to sing and lead that last worship song. I said, don't be confused, Hunter. That would take a straight up miracle from God for that to happen. If my wife's a half note off, then I am a whole alphabet off probably. We came, Lynn and I had went to Texas for Bible school for a year in, I don't know, 97, 98, and some great songs, so we thought we'd come home and teach. My mom happened to play the piano at New Hope at that point, and I think Bill and Judy were on the worship, and so we gathered them around the piano in the living room, and it was awful. Like Lynn and I were the only ones that knew the song. So we were singing, and Mom's trying to play, and Judy's trying to not, and I think it was Bill was finally like, whoa, stop, you guys are terrible, like, you guys are way off. So he said, just give us the music, and we'll figure it out. So, yes, half a note off. Praise the Lord, amen. Michael, you were at the conference this week. What's in your spirit about what's going on there? What's going on? Not what's going on, I'm saying, what's in your spirit? You got anything?
But when I was there, I just really enjoyed it. But I think part of it, I think, is the speaker for the first two nights, because his affiliation with so many different denominations, what I really enjoy is when you go there, you don't really focus on the United Brethren. Like, that's not why we're there. It's mentioned, but really, you're going there to be with believers. And I think that was really cool, is because you might as well just been in a room with many backgrounds, but a unified purpose.
Yep.
So it's a really good time of learning and growing and challenging, just being built up by the body.
Amen. I agree with that. Good. As a reminder, I wasn't in here in the beginning. We love the kids. We love the noise. If he wants to run up front here, there's no problem with me, just so you know. So it'll distract you all from my comments anyways. It's going to be a little different this morning. I have a particular topic, felt like the Lord has given to me for sure, but I feel like there's a little bit of a blender effect, and so I'm just going to kind of pull some things out, and we'll talk about a few things. I do feel maybe is not the right word. I'm discerning that maybe there are some interactions, maybe someone has something from the Lord that they're supposed to share. I'm perfectly fine with that. In fact, I may just pause here for just a second. Does anyone have something that a testimony that's happened this week that you feel like, yeah, I'm supposed to share that this morning? Or maybe something the Lord gave you during worship? I don't know, and I'm not going to sit here very long, but I'm just testing in the spirit to see. Yes?
Yeah, I wanted to thank everybody for their continued prayers for Mom and kind of give an update. She has had 3 stents put in. It was blood clots,
mm-hmm.
and so she is home now with
Great.
The medication. She has a walker and oxygen and a life vest
mm-hmm.
to keep her alive, and she'll go in a couple more weeks, but she seems to really be doing very well, and she wanted me to express her thanks to everybody, because she knows that I've kept everybody mm-hmm. in the loop, and we've all continued to pray for her.
Good.
God has really touched her physically,
Amen.
And she is feeling so much better.
Good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyone else?
Yeah.
Gabe?
So, this week, something was, I heard something that...
Stand up.
So, I heard something this week that just kind of changed a little perspective for me. I thought it was kind of a big deal. I won't elaborate too much because I haven't thought enough to talk about it, but it said that... In the Holy of Holies, when the temple, when the Jesus died on the cross, the veil was rent in half. And if you know anything about that veil, it wasn't a tarp, it was thick, and it was torn from top to bottom.
Good. Anybody else? Yeah.
God's blessed me good with my two operations. I get another hip here in 3 weeks, and it's just hard to sit around. I call a Gabe every once in a while.
You do? That's good.
And try to talk. They get it. It's just hard to. Then they got you on all these hard narcotics that just kick your tail.
And then he can't sleep, and then every 5 minutes, can you get me?
So she's got about another 2 months to go through that. But God's blessed me with I'm getting on a good track.
You're in a pranger pew.
Yeah,
that's all. That's not good. Like, you're slipping, Jim. You're really slipping here. Oh, Gabe. How'd you get rid of him, Gabe? Can you write me a note? Anybody else? Yeah, Brenda. I don't know how they learn either. Amen for that. I'm glad that they do learn. Praise God. Shell.
I was at the Derby last time. I was at the Derby, and Samuel's car caught fire, and really caught fire, and enough to make me come out of the stands. And but I got up this morning, and a friend of mine from my church at Fort Wayne, Life Bridge Church, had sent me a text who knew nothing about any of this, and she said, all weekend long I've been hearing this worship song, there's another is in fire.
Huh.
That's
cool. Yeah. I got a text. I was alerted by one of the boys right when that was happening. So I prayed. Aunt Linda was asleep, but I prayed. Anybody else?
I just want to thank God for helping me get back up.
Amen.
Safe travels. Help me through my health issues that I've had. And to be always with me to help strengthen my body.
Amen. We're glad you're here this morning. Anybody else? Matthew 18:18 through 20.
Heaven and earth.
Yeah.
Inviting, and I thought, like, the crown of bread representing, like, this continuous flow of bringing heaven to earth.
You went deep on us right there. Wow, that's awesome. Next. Were you raising your hand? You're you were amening. You were amening, weren't you? Amening. That's good. I like that. When I've thought about that word, my first thought was the Corona Bridge is right here. It's one of the, I don't know if it's a famous bridge, but it's a known bridge. So, anybody else?
I don't know why illness is created, but I know that people with mental health are loved by God regardless.
Amen. Amen. It's good stuff. We're flowing. What? Somebody got anything else?
I've got one. So this week, there's a neighbor, a really good friend of mine that has been on the market for a while. She has lymphoma, or she had lymphoma. And her name's Michaela Reiki, I think some of you.
Right.
Like, I don't know
right.
What you want me to do with this, and I felt like he said just fellowship, so I went there. But again, I'm like, how do I pray for her? What does she need? And then on the way home, I felt led to text the group of girls that made
just said she has her PET scan Tuesday, and then Friday she's going to find out the results of it. She said her oncologist on Thursday said that he called her and said, I just wanted to give you some peace of mind that things look normal. But what he told her that she thought was going to be normal was no upticks in anything. And her mom texted on Friday and said the cancer is completely out of her body.
Wow, praise God. Amen.
So it just, and that was the Lord ministering to me too, because I text that group and like, just, I kept hearing where there are two or three gathered in my name. And I think all of those girls.
That's that scripture, I think. I think that's the 18, Matthew 18, isn't that? Where two or three are gathered in my name? I think that's that. It's interesting, you just said that and you connected. I'm just thinking like, wow, that all's connected right there. The word in our prayer meeting this morning that kept coming up was simple. Like literally, I think there was most of us in there prayed something about simple. And boy, we overcomplicate things. Anybody else? That Aaron's simple? Yeah, I know. We all talk about Aaron as he's simple. Yeah. Good. All right. Anybody else? Just burning up like you got to say something before I move on? I don't miss anybody. All right. So you guys can open up to Matthew. We're going to go to a couple places. We're not going to go there right away. But Matthew 9 and Luke 19. Actually, let me make sure. Matthew 9 and Luke 19. Yeah, so you can get those markers. We'll be maybe 5-10 minutes before we jump over to those scriptures. Like I said, there's a little bit of a blender effect for me. I've wrote down some notes and see how many of them we cover. But there was three things that I wrote down from the conference, similar to Michael and Lynn, but maybe slightly different. You guys know that Bishop and I get together usually once a year for breakfast, and I have shared in the past that the last time I met with Bishop, we got to talking about just our nature here in Corona and our, I don't know, little bit of hillbilly-ishness and our little bit of not wanting to be structured and fancy and blah blah blah, and just talked about some of the ideas, and he mentioned to me in that meeting, he just stopped and said, you need to go see Mike, what's his last? Ditma. What? Dittman. I don't know. I always say it wrong. He said, you need to go see Mike Dittman. Now, those of you who are aware of the staff at the conference, Mike's actually not, I don't think, has a UB anything. But he's good friends with Bishop, and he is the national director. I don't know.
Who knows?
It's some title. So it's some title. And so we tried to connect through. I tried to follow what Bishop said and go to see him. And so ended up we couldn't connect over Christmas because somebody was sick. And then we got busy. Then I had a knee surgery, then farming. And so I end up at the conference having never met this guy. And literally we were exchanging emails. We don't know each other. We end up in a class of his. And afterwards we introduced. So there's some things come together from a blender standpoint. Today is a discussion, and it's so interesting what just happened, because that was zero planned on my part, right? What just happened, that first 10 minutes of flow or whatever, had was not on my radar. It's not in my notes, but it's interesting. I go into Mike's class. He did a breakout session or whatever, and here's his title. I didn't ask him if I could steal his title, but I'm actually stealing his title for my sermon this morning. And here's basically what it is. From platforms to dinner tables. That was his message. From platforms to dinner tables. And his real message would be from platforms back to dinner tables. From pews to tables. From lines to circles. And so he, Mike, is, I think the easiest way to describe him is, I can't believe that him and Bishop don't clash around every corner. Like, but it's, they get, this is the wonderful nature of Bishop. Bishop is this organized, matter-of-fact, structured guy that is just a great leader. He is, I think like that, because in order to run a meeting and do business and to run an organization, I don't know, there's 130, 140 churches across 6-7 states that Bishop's in charge of. And so he's always said, I have to be a planner. Mike, on the other hand, is this disruptive, kind of just fly by the seat of my pants, plan a conference. Why would we do that? Let's just get in there and see what happens. And Bishop's like, oh my word. I mean, it's probably why Bishop doesn't have any hair left. So he's probably pulled it all out. Mike, on the other hand, is also my kind of guy. So he reminds me of some people in my life who don't like to plan anything. They just fly by the seat of their pants. Do you know somebody like that who's related to me? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Not naming any names. You could probably name two names. Planning versus not planning. Bishop, it's interesting that Lynn said, I don't want to make us a big head. We're known. Not we. Not, I don't mean to point at me. Like, whatever's happening here, like, it's making its way. And people are like, hey, there's something going on there. Like, there's something unique. And so anyways, so I, after Mike's little thing, I was outside and he ended up from me to Ben, and I said, hey, Mr. I probably said his name wrong, but I said, hey, Mr. Ditma. Probably not right, is it? No, probably not right. But I said, I'm Mr. Pranger. And, oh, you're the guy I've been emailing with. Nice to see you, and blah, blah, blah. I said, and so we're going to set up a time, and we haven't got together yet, and we didn't have time that day. But here's the point. Platforms to dinner tables. Platforms to dinner tables. It's my topic this morning, dinner tables. And we're going to look at this here for a second, but a few other things I want to go through. There is, let me say it like this, because I'm just thinking out loud. This is aesthetically not a dinner table, okay? This is actually, churches in general are platform-centered and rows and pews that look forward, and this guy basically gets something from God and he shares it with the rest of you. That is aesthetics and that setup. What Mike is generally, I think, careful to do, and what him and Bishop are working out, is the first step is not to rearrange this. The first step is to rearrange this and this. Like, what are we doing? So I come away from the conference going, I don't know that anyone in here knows what we're doing. But apparently it's got some kind of aroma and visual concept that when people walk in, they're like, that's different. Like, Steve Fish sat in the back, is like, that's different. David Klein's like, that's different. And so something, right? But how do we kind of put our finger on that? And I think the reality is, in our heart, we are moving. I'm moving. I know Linda's moving. You heard Joe mention, like, we're having deep conversations in our family about what does it mean to be a platform-minded body of Christ versus a dinner table-minded body of Christ. And I think there's some substantial differences. Let me put it like this. I'll go this way. I think Mike said this or Bishop said this, Lynn, I don't know. But it basically, proclamation, celebration, inspiration. Proclamation, celebration, inspiration. Those are all attributed to platforms. They're all attributed to, I'm making proclamation. We're celebrating. We are inspired when somebody passionately comes up here with a great sermon, which is usually not me. That's somebody else. That's a Michael tear down the altar sermon, or a Gabe walk in the covenant sermon, or somebody else. I don't know. It's not mine. But there's inspiration, there's proclamation, and there's celebration. And that's important. But what I'm hearing in my spirit for multiple years, and what I'm hearing from Bishop and Mike, who are not necessarily I mean, they're not in my life every day, but I'm just kind of almost as confirmation. That's a better word. It's almost like we went to that and we got confirmation of something. I remember Michael and I were talking about it was good to hear confirmation. I think you said to me, sometimes you're not sure we're doing the right thing, and to get confirmation feels nice, right? And so there's confirmation that Holy Spirit, we're in a flow. We're on that bridge. We're doing something, right? And so there is this idea that proclamation, celebration, inspiration is vital to the body of Christ, but it is 90% of church. It's 90 if you were to went out and interview 100 people, 90% of them would say, "Oh, church." If they describe church to you, it would equal this. It would equal this hour and a half, which is proclamation, celebration, inspiration. It won't equal what we just did in the first 10 minutes, which is conversation, right? Conversation about what's going on in Shelley's life. Like, oh, there was a fire last night. Not what's going on in others who testified. What's going on with Jim? Had a couple surgeries. Feeling kicked out of Gabe's row, so you joined my row. Like, we wouldn't have known that had we not had a little bit of discussion, right? But there's something else came out of this for me, and it was interesting. And I'm not sure if this came out from another preacher we listened to or at the conference, but this statement, this Bible, this book, is not a lecture book. We treat it as such sometimes. This book is a book of biographies. This book is a book of stories about men and women's lives who just went out and lived. This is considered a lectern, a place to give a lecture. And if we fancy it up, we can preach a lecture, we can teach a lecture, we can evangelize a lecture. It's way different than a biography. That's way different than sharing something that I'm going through and then you sharing something you're going through. That's what happens at a dinner table. Churches, the kingdom of God is not going to move forward in lecture form. It moves forward in biography form. It moves forward in conversation form. It moves forward around the dinner table. And we're going to look at three passages where Jesus did amazing things at a dinner table. You won't find, you'll be hard-pressed to find more than about 10% of the stories about Jesus have anything to do with him standing up here behind a lectern lecturing. It's just not in here. What will you find out? Sitting down on the floor, eating dinner, walking in the wilderness, over here in a boat when it's raining, somebody woke him up. That's biography. That's living. That's interactive. That is the common thing. So what am I saying? Well, I'm kind of saying to all of you, I think the flow that we're in is going to move us away from pews and platforms and move us into dinner table. Now, does the aesthetics of this change? Maybe. Maybe. Maybe we gut this whole thing. I don't know. I don't really care. I could care less if somebody came up to me and everybody voted and said, "Hey, let's not have service. Let's have a dinner on Sunday from now on." Fine. I don't, whatever. Like, I don't care. I'm not married to this. I'm married to the ecclesia. I'm married to the body of Christ. I'm married to the kingdom of God going forward. And if you said, "Hey, we don't want to hear you talk anymore," fine. Where do you want me? I don't, there's nothing up here. I don't need to do this. Like, it would probably be a blessing on some Sundays if I don't. So I have other things to do, right? I don't need to be up here at 10 o'clock last night going, "Oh my word, what am I going to say tomorrow?" Right? Because I was here at a table. Ray, that was the table you saw up here this morning. It was just too late for me to put it away. Like, I don't know what I was going to say. But all of a sudden, almost like you were saying, like the Lord just taught me something through this whole. It's like all of a sudden when I just said, "I don't know," and boom, here we are. And boom, look what happens. That conversation, I mean, that wasn't deep, right? We didn't spend the amount of time we need to. And sometimes it's hard when there's 50. But the reality is, God is moving us in dinner table situations. Okay, he's moving us to small groups. He's moving us into those modes. Does that mean we need to get rid of the proclamations and the celebrations and the inspiration? Absolutely not. But it does mean that we probably have them in a wrong position. We have them too lofty, and we're doing those 90% of the time, and we all head out of here, and there's no dinner table, right? So and Mike is so firm on this. He's just so passionate about this. Like, he literally stands up and, like, I'm done with platform, and I'm going dinner table. And there's a handful of guys around him, and like that's what they're doing, and they're trying to figure out what that looks like. And rightfully so, that his point is it's messy. Like how do you figure that out, right? How do you sing around a dinner table? Well, figure it out, right? What? Well, you might. It's fine. You pray. You have fun. You fellowship. Like, that can all work. We just have to think differently. We need to think outside the box a little bit. I keep things that come to me. For some reason, I get a lot of stuff. I get stuff from you guys in here. People will bring me a word. I'll come across things, and I tend to keep things. This is just a fraction of a few things I want to read to you, and this goes back to the confirmation. Like I said, this really is a discussion about where are we going, okay? We're all leading this. I'm not leading this. Michael's not leading this. Scott's not leading it. Gabe's not. I mean, the preacher's coming up here. We're not leading it. We're just flowing. Like, we're just trying to figure out how to show up and do what we're supposed to do. God is leading us. There's a flow that's happening. My job today is remind us a little bit and talk about what that next thing might look like, at least where I'm feeling. I'm feeling definitely in my spirit, confirmed with Linda and confirmed with some other things. I want to just read just a few things, I think. I'm not sure, but I want to read a few things and then we'll wrap up in Scripture. I think we're doing fine here. New tongues, these are maybe prophetic words, maybe just things that people thought about or we talked about, and I just want you to listen here, and if something pricks your heart, write it down. On September 21st, David, I don't know if you remember this, you wrote this down. New tongues of fire released in interpretation. I saw two angels being released, large angels with swords, and saw these angels strike the earth, causing large cracks. The Lord says, and David gave this word. This would have been last year. I am pouring out a new wine. I'm raising up true prophets. When prophets speak loudly, they will go deep into the earth and shake the foundations. Don't cast off or ignore the prophets. Do not ignore the words from new tongues that are being revealed, the very heart of God. Prophets and intercessors, he says at the end. Be confident. Speak boldly. Here's another one. This one may have been a year or so ago. In the midst of this great confrontation between the spirit of religion and the Holy Spirit, at the gates of so many cities around the world, God is birthing new wineskins for a new era of church. Apostolic hubs and new expressions of church are going to burst forth in 2023. Wow. They will bring massive shift away from what many have chased for decades and establish a realm of wholeness to Christianity that many have never experienced before. Here's another piece. An era is ending of the pastor does all church mentality. You will see a fivefold leadership teams emerge around the globe who will work together to share the pulpit, discipleship, and more. Who will share the pulpit, discipleship, and more. This healthy biblical model will stop burnout, immorality, and suicide that overtakes the body of Christ. You remember, I came across this one too. You remember the I called it the logging revival. Do you remember the logging revival? The lumberjack revival. I read this. It was a Charles Finney story. It's been maybe a year or so. And I there was a highlighted thing that said this was a kind of a summary of the lumberjack revival. There was not a single minister that was leading the movement. It was led by simple people who were led by the Holy Spirit. I'm not done yet. These people have no idea who we are. Like, all of this stuff right here, they're not connected. They didn't see what's going on, and we're not following them. All this stuff is just kind of like, it's just all coming together, confirmation of where we're going. Why is this important? Because we're going somewhere. We need to know where we're going. Here's another one. This morning I was awakened to hear the barnstormers have returned. Shelley, you remember this one? I immediately went to find out what that meant. A new breed of barnstormers. The roaring 20s of the 2020s are just moments ahead of us. God has released a new breed of barnstormers. These bold, lion-hearted world changers aren't driven by the crowds, the rush of adrenaline from the show, but the pure joy of seeing the hearts of their communities transformed. I believe an invasion of America's rural areas is already beginning, which has yet to be heard about. God has set in motion hubs that are being established in many cities. The cries have been heard by God. Already groups of leaders in cities have crossed old lines of separation and linked arms. The open heavens over small towns. I'm not sure. I think we're in a small town. Is it medium? Is this a medium town? I don't think so. I think this is a small town. The open heavens over small towns will be the first indication seen by those who are anticipating and watching this move. I tracked that guy down. That guy's in Washington. He has no idea who we are. He has no idea. I tracked that guy down simply because it came through a scenario that I could find him. And when I got in contact with him, he was like, "Who are you?" I'm like, "I'm from a small town in Corona, and there's some weird things happening. And I read your thing, and we started a conversation." And he said what he had felt started with him, and what started that word in his spirit and why he had wrote that was that he felt like the church was too divided, and it was too about platforms. And I think he actually used that term. He's like, I just wanted to merge. I just wanted to get with the rest of the body of Christ in the town and do a workout there, and I could care less who gets the credit. I could care less who's in charge. I can care less who's speaking on Sunday. Let's just go move the kingdom forward. And so it's interesting that I'm almost done, I promise. You guys remember I preached on Kairos and Chronos. Here's a word that had to do, I don't think I preached it that Sunday, but here's a word. Spiritual seasons always begin with seeds. If you are waiting to see big action, you will miss God's season. They won't show up on news channels or big events or be promoted on Facebook. The seeds get planted, watered quietly, and almost unnoticeably in the hearts of future giant killers like David, who in a Kairos moment met a prophet, then went into a Chronos season, watering, protecting, and growing the seed, then one day encountered another Kairos moment and killed Goliath. That awesome? There is an aligning among my lions that will usher in a new shift in the earth. Powers are shifting, authority is shifting, and ungodly rulers are being unseated. I am making room for those that are righteous to rule the land. The foundation of this alignment is being laid by my apostles and prophets. The aligning will be a source of activation, release, and unity among the ecclesia. Do not become distracted. Do not become discouraged. Set your heart in alignment with my word and purposes. Align with the voices I am raising up. You will hear different roars with different anointings, but as they align, you will clearly see I am in the midst of that roar, and my voice is at the center. My word is emerging as a new wine that is being poured out. What is all this? I mean, the reality is, all of this stuff is just, these are words, and these are discerning things that people had. But man, when you put all these things together, and you step back, and you look, and the Lord, like he did with us this week, kind of sets us aside, gives us a place of rest, and says, "Hey, I want to talk to you about something." It's like a blender is just going on the inside of me. I was reminded, I think Jeremiah is the one that said, "There's a fire down in my bones," like it's God's word is like a fire in my bones, like a fire in my belly, and I can't contain it. I mean, I feel like that. I feel like there's just this blender and this thing that's going on and this energy. And I can't help but talk about it. And it's messy. This is why I had the table up here last night. This stuff was just strewn everywhere. I think there was stuff on the floor too. Last one, I'll save this, then we'll jump into scripture here real quick for just 2 minutes. Actually, there's two more here, but the Lord, this is a word I didn't have a name on this. I think this came from Anna and a lady that was here during the Anna, when she did that event on Saturday. But she said this. This was part of something. The Lord is drawing the youth. He wants to place specific mantles to send them out and for this church to steward that like an apostolic church. They are stewarding something special, speaking of the youth. They are looking for someone who is going to lead them along this path. And the last thing that I'm going to share, we'll jump into some Jesus dinner table. Last Pentecost Sunday, not last, 2022, Pentecost Sunday. Kelly, do you remember that morning? Do you remember what happened that morning? Kinda. Yeah. And you reminded us at the end of the service that it was Pentecost Sunday because we didn't know, right? I stepped to the podium that Sunday and felt like God wanted to make declaration. And before I even got out of my words, there was a whole line of people up here. And I knew we were making some prophetic declarations in the Spirit. And I think you named that sermon, Get Used to Uncomfortable. That was something I had, at least on the paper, that I took away from that day. Allie had went and got communion that day. And what kind of came together for me, that was a marker that the Lord, through not only us adults, but the youth in particular, that God is moving, not only in the youth, but I think it's youth up to, you've always kind of said, all the way up into that mid-30s with the kids and the babies, and yes, you and all of it. It's like God is moving all of us. It's fantastic. Like He's just involved in all of our lives. But yet, uncomfortable is the thing. You in Matthew chapter 9? Will somebody read? Chris, will you read Matthew 9, 1 through 10? And while you're reading, allow me to kind of gather my thoughts on the next thing here. Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. It's fine. Matthew 9, 1 through 10. And then, Dr. Scott, will you get ready to read Luke 19, 1 through 10? So, Chris, you're going to read Matthew 9, 1 through, actually, 1 through 13. Scott, Luke 19, 1 through 10.
Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to murmur, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now, I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because of this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost.
Two stories. Both stories, Jesus is going. Both stories, Jesus is inviting these sinners to church. Right? No. Both stories, Jesus ends up in these sinners' houses, eating dinner with them, with a crowd of people. Now, I didn't realize this until this morning. I had these scriptures picked out before I went to conference. For some reason, both of these were on my heart just thinking about the dinner table. Had no idea what Mike's conference. So when I walk into Mike and he says platform to dinner tables, I'm like, yeah, that's the title of my sermon. I already have the scriptures picked out of what I'm going to preach, right? So, I mean, just amazing. This is what goes back to that. We could sit here for 3 hours if we all shared. It's like the confirmations. I mean, that's just a fraction of the words from other people. I have no idea what's going on in my life, but there's 50, 60 more of those things in my life and probably 100 in your life. Thousands and thousands of confirmations about God saying, you're in the river, pay attention. So when I look at these scriptures, and I, interesting enough, and I'm going to pose this, I thought, when do I pick, both these guys are tax collectors. I didn't realize that. Matthew was a tax collector, and so was Zacchaeus, I think, right? So Zacchaeus. So I picked those two scriptures, had no idea that those were tax collectors. Anybody have a thought about why? I don't know. Seriously, I'm like, does anybody have some unction or discernment about why that's important?
They weren't religious.
No. Yeah, they were the opposite. They weren't Pharisees. That's good.
They were looked down upon by all of the people in the town.
They were cast, they were, what's that?
He said they were looked down
upon. Yeah, they looked,
upon.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they were probably criminals.
They may have been.
They probably were.
Yeah. Well, Zacchaeus said he wasn't.
Zacchaeus ended up giving all his, he said, if I overcharged anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Okay. Anybody else? This goes back to the dinner table. How many of them people are in this room now? Not very many. Think about the crowd that's at these two dinners, at these house. There's believers, there's disciples, there's unbelievers, there's Pharisees, there's critics that are just trying to catch Jesus in a trap, and there's just probably a bunch of people that don't care. They just want to see the next miracle. There's a whole group of people that are where Jesus is at a dinner, at a house, relaxing, and he's ministering, and in this format here, this is Mike's point, you just aren't going to get that crowd here probably. You're not going to have that crowd. Is that wrong, right? I'm not here to debate that. I'm not here to debate whether this is right or wrong. What I'm here to say is we're supposed to be where those people are at, okay? Think about what Jesus said. You look at the Matthew one, the Pharisees particularly, right? They said, we saw it, and they said unto his disciples, why does your master eat with these sinners? Like, what? Like, these holier-than-thou Pharisees and religious people are like, what's he doing eating with those people? And look at what Jesus says. The King James kind of messes it up, but 13 says, but go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous but sinners. Here's what he's basically saying to all them people. Hey, go figure out that if you don't belong with them, I'm not here for you. If you don't identify with them, you're getting nothing from me. That's what Jesus is saying. Go and learn that I didn't come for the righteous. Go and learn I didn't come for you. Go and learn I came for them. Go and learn then what that means, because if you're not them, I'm not here for you. Don't come sit in here and think you're better than the one that's not sitting here. You're not. We're not better. We think we're better. I think I'm better. Because I got a Bible and I'm sitting up here and it's great. No, I'm not. I'm not better. There's no difference. And Jesus pretty much said to them, hey, if you can't sit down here and eat dinner with me, and you can't sit down here and eat dinner with the one who curses me, then I'm not here for you. Like this is a gathering of pretty much believers, maybe some skeptics. But for the most part, and I look around here, there aren't a lot of the non-Christian faction sitting in here now. And they haven't been, and they probably aren't going to be. Why? Because Jesus didn't invite these people to go to church. He went to their house. He went and had dinner with them. And guess what? When I have dinner, people come. Why? Because human beings like food. It's an easy calling card. It's not complicated to start a discussion and say, hey, you want to come over for hot dogs and hamburgers? Sure. I'll come over for hot dogs and hamburgers. Hey, you want to come to church? No. Like, hey, this isn't super illogical, folks. We'll get a lot more people if we start having dinners somewhere else than inviting them to church. Do we need to meet together as believers and encourage each other? Absolutely. I'm not against the point, right? I'm simply saying, where's our energy? Where's our effort going? There's too much of it going into here and not enough of it going into our dinners. That's not necessarily, I'm not condemning anyone. I'm just challenging. I'm saying, where's the flow of God taking us? Where's he going with all this, right? Why are we different? We're not different so that the conference can go, ooh, go to Corona, they're different. Like, we'll completely miss it if we try to get that crown and that badge. What's God moving us for? He's moving us to get out of our comfortability in this safe space. That's all this is. This is a Christian safe place where you won't get your feelings hurt and nobody will say your Jesus is nuts. You're not going to get lynched in here. This is just a Christian safe place. We belong where it's uncomfortable. We belong sitting at that table where Jesus can hear the Pharisees going, what is he doing? When he can hear the critics going, he shouldn't be doing that. He's eating with a tax collector. When he can feel the tension going, I hate that tax collector. I wish he were dead and you're sitting with him. His own disciples, I'll guarantee you, were putting pressure on him. Two tax collectors you're eating dinner with? Are you kidding? He's feeling that pressure. If we aren't feeling that on a regular basis, we're in the wrong spot. Okay? I'm just pushing the flow. Just pushing the flow. Last scripture, and then I'm going to close. Turn over. Those are dinner scriptures. Go over to, you're in Luke, I hope. Luke 24. Let me give you one last one, and then we're wrapping up. What's the point? Platforms to dinner tables. I don't know how that looks. Steph, I'm gonna wrap up with a dinner in the park. So maybe banter here in a few minutes, okay? So I'm just giving you a heads up. It's kind of my last point is to bring up what you had said at Matt's, and I've heard a couple more things like that, so I just want to connect that dot here. In Luke 24, let's look at, what scriptures did I write? Let's look verse 15. This is after, just so you guys know, this is the road to Emmaus story. This is after Jesus has been crucified. He's resurrected. He's on a dirt road. There's two guys talking, and this is the story. And it came to pass that while these two guys communed, just so you know, that is a really cool, deep Greek word. That's not communion. They weren't having communion. they weren't taking the cup. They were communing. That's what communion stands for anyways. Communion itself is not some kind of holier-than-now thing. It's representing communion, living together, talking together. As they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Skip down to verses 30 through 32 and close with this. And it came to pass, as he sat at dinner with them, that he took bread, he blessed it, broke it, and gave them to eat. And at dinner, their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, didn't our heart burn within us when he talked with us? I am convinced that I want to qualify this. I'm not convinced that anything has been done wrong up to this time. I'm not convinced that anyone has done it. I think there's seasons in the body of Christ. I think those seasons pertain to geographical regions. What I'm confident of is that our season in our region needs to move out of platform, out of performance, and I'm not saying it even is, but we need to move to where we need to move to the dinner table. Like, we need to move more to the dinner table, more groups of dinner table. Because I think what will happen is, instead of you trying to get revelation from something I'm seeing, we're going to be like these guys. We are going to come away and go, man, didn't our heart burn when we were talking? The kingdom of God will move forward on biography. I need to know what's going on in Shelly's life. I need to know what's going on in Steph's life. I need to know what's going on in Will's life. I need to know what's going on in Jimmy's life. And you guys need to know what's going on in my life. And this is not the format to do that. When we do that, we'll hear what God's doing. We'll hear what Jesus is doing in each other's life, and the community will start, the community will start to grow. Things will go forward. Revelation will come, and it'll just feel great. That's already starting to happen. Make no mistake about it. This is already starting to happen. This is all over the place. I'm just encouraging it, like, let's get some wind behind it. Let's get this thing going. Steph, a few weeks ago, had a... Steph, you said you wanted, when we started doing this two-month thing, you said you felt impressed that we were to do a dinner in the park kind of at the end of this. I don't think you put a date on it, but maybe at the end of August, 1st of September, a dinner in the park, and maybe even close it out with communion, whoever wanted to participate. A few others have come and said something similar to that, where maybe we go down to the park, we cook hamburgers, hot dogs, I don't know. I'm not trying to figure that out, other than there will be a practical structure get put to place at some point. I'm just casting the vision and putting it out so that if this kind of is something inside of you that think that, yeah, we need to do that, then we'll eventually here in the next week or two get some kind of meeting set up to do it. But Steph, you felt like while this prayer time is going on, you felt like the Lord spoke to you and said, I'm going to close this out with a, I know you called it a love feast, and Dr. Scott said, don't call it that. That's terrible. Like, guys don't like, that's the wrong term right now, right? Let's not call it a love feast.
It's a technical term.
Yeah, it is. It's a spiritually technical term. And why did you call it that? And just give me a 30-second recap of that, what you were feeling inside. There's stories.
If there's stories, it breaks down, I think, it breaks down the walls among us.
Yeah.
And I just felt like, I think that we as Corona UB have communed.
Yeah. Yeah, not isolating Corona as more important than anything else, just a starting point.
Yeah. So it was like, I think that we should invite the other churches.
Absolutely.
To come, because as we are individual members of the body of Christ, every church is the body of Christ, and they're a little different.
Yeah.
I mean, we are what we are, and, the guys down the road aren't going to be like us. Like, we can't. Manufacture this ourselves.
So it's interesting. So as Steph's talking there, I think what we want to do is we want other pieces. You had an idea, let's invite. Others may have other pieces. What I want to do is put this together, figure out what we can do, what we can't do, and just start talking about it. And so if you have an unction about that, or you have a part of that, or you're like, I want to be part of that, then get with me, get with Steph. We're going to start a conversation about it. We're going to frame something about bringing that up on a weekly basis and talk. I'm confident we're heading towards some kind of dinner in the park. Who's invited and what we're having, I don't know. Don't care right now. The Lord will show us all that. What I'm interested in is getting all the parts and pieces. I'm getting, like, who's supposed to be part of this and who's not. And so we'll figure that piece of it out. Without being condemning, when Jesus walked around, he continually was a magnet to a certain type of person. Who always showed up around him? Who showed up in these two stories, the first two? Huh? Sinners, the outcasts. The disciples showed up. Who else showed up? The Pharisees. It's like the whole world showed up. Okay? It's like everybody wanted to be around him. Does everybody want to be around us? I don't know. I know what God has said. There's a place. We talked about this, like Nathan down in Kentucky. If Nathan said this to Gabe and I on a phone one day, he's like, hey, there's people here in my community that don't know Jesus, but they would kill you if you tried to hurt me. Because I mean that much to the community. Like, they may never accept Jesus, but they don't want me to leave. Okay? That's what the body of Christ ought to be. The body of Christ in a community ought to be something that the people say, okay, I don't necessarily believe in that funky Jesus thing they got going on, but make no mistake, I want them in this community. Like, and that gives us that inroads. That gives us a table full of not just church people around the dinner. It gives us a table of sinners and Sadducees and Pharisees and the heathen. That's what we need. It may take 10 years to win some of them. It may take 10 minutes to win others. It doesn't matter. That's not our part. But we have to reframe ourselves, right? We have to get out of the gothic look. We have to get out of the religious temple looking structure, and we have to get our own hearts out of that. Stand with me. Sorry, I went over just a little bit. I told the kids I've been a little lengthy lately, and I'm trying to shorten it up. I don't know what it is. Last word. An addiction to ministry, conferences, and calling is being exposed in this generation of saints and leaders. Date nights, anniversary trips, family vacations, and more are going to be prioritized, just like revival and church attendance. In fact, there's no need to separate one from another. A remnant, the renewal, is finally recognizing that authentic revival looks like a healthy marriage and a healthy family. Let me read that again. A remnant is finally recognizing that authentic renewal or revival looks like a healthy marriage and a healthy family. Ministry addiction is over. Capital OVER. What are we talking about? What happens at your house, Matt? Dinner, right? You sit down, you talk about stuff at the dinner table. David, you sit down and talk about stuff at the dinner table, and maybe when you're done, you talk about some more stuff. I know what happens at our house dinner table. Hey, just to be clear, we don't run through practice for dinner. Okay? We don't show up a half hour early and run through a rehearsal of what dinner looks like. We just show up and eat. That's not to say that you shouldn't come and plan and go through your songs or whatever. But the reality is, if you don't, who cares? Like, if it's a late night and we just run in here and have to figure it out, who cares? Right? Like, we're not practicing family. You just do it. Okay? I also don't change my clothes for dinner. I came over, I worked on the 8440 the other day, I pulled the pump out, I had grease all over me and my boots, and I walked in and didn't stop for 1 second to think I can get in the refrigerator looking just like this. I can sit at the table just like I look right now. I don't need to clean up and put a mask on to come into the temple of God. I am the temple of God, and so are you. Anybody got something? Before I close in prayer.
And order a pizza delivered.
You're totally welcome to do that.
Because I realized this week that when we're opening our doors, this is dinner. When you come here and you pray and you commune with each other, not in this patterned, everybody facing forward kind of thing, that's
Hmm?
That's what you're talking about, and that's what it is. And this is just a comfortable place because I don't have to clean up my house
right.
to do it.
I agree. Go and be blessed and commune with one another as the Lord leads you. You're dismissed.